The word of God given to us today is Acts chapter 27, verses 21 to 26. Please turn to page 234 of the New Testament. It's Acts chapter 27, verses 21 to 26. Allow me to read. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only this ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run around on some island. Amen.'" There was absolutely nothing they could do in the midst of the sudden deadly wind of the northeaster for the people who were aboard the Alexandrian ship. They completely lost control of the ship that they were riding on. They also had to throw away all their precious cargo into the sea, which they had wanted to protect so much, despite all the risk. For several days and nights, they could not eat nor drink in pitch darkness. And they eventually lost any hope for salvation when it didn't seem like the deadly wind that tried to engulf the Alexandrian ship would die down. That was when a man stood up from the fear of death, the great Apostle Paul. He told the people to keep up your courage. The Greek verb euthymio, which was translated as to keep up courage, originally means to rejoice. It wasn't because Paul had an iron will or bore fruit of his faith that he told the people who have lost every bit of hope to rejoice in the hope of salvation. Paul at the time reached his later years of life and was suffering from his chronic illnesses. The old and feeble Paul was not able to neither eat nor drink for several days in that wild storm. Paul must have been the most physically exhausted person on that Alexandrian ship among all 276 people that were on board. And yet, the reason why he was still able to tell those who had lost any hope they had left to rejoice for the hope of salvation was because God had been by Paul's side even amidst the ghastly wind. Paul testified in front of everyone that God is the God to whom I belong and whom I serve. To Paul, God was the God of whom I belong and at the same time, the God whom I serve. We have gone over the meaning of Paul's testimony very deeply for over the past two sermons. Why do you think Paul spent his life to belong to God and serve God? Paul answered this question himself in verse 23. "Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood beside me." To Paul, God was the God who stood beside me and spoke through his messenger. We can only understand the meaning and weight of his testimony more properly by tracking back to his time 2,000 years ago. The Mediterranean world 2,000 years back was a world in which Greek gods were idolatrized. There were temples everywhere and statues of Greek gods in major places. Even today, you can see those statues in museums all across Europe. And they were so elaborately made, making them look like they are actually alive. But these statues have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, noses but cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel, feet but cannot walk. Nor can they utter a sound with their throats, like it was pointed out in Psalms chapter 115, verses 5 to 7. They may look alive, but they cannot hear, see, nor speak. They were merely pieces of metal or stones. It is needless to say that such statues made out of metals or stones cannot go seeking for people. The only way people could meet with gods was to make efforts themselves to go see those statues. But God, whom Paul belonged to and served, was the God who spoke directly to Paul, unlike those statues made out of metals or stones. God did not speak indistinctly in a faint voice from high above or from a mountain afar. God always spoke standing beside by Paul. Unlike those statues which people had to go see for themselves, God came to Paul himself. This meant that God was always looking out for Paul, of his whereabouts, unlike the statues that could not see even with their eyes. God had seen where exactly Paul was in this vast world and came and spoke to him directly. Unlike the statues made out of metals or stones, God was a living God that transcends time and space. And so Paul belonged to God and lived to serve God his entire life. What is important here is when was it when God spoke to Paul, standing beside him? Let us look into verse 23 again. Last night, an angel of God, of the God, to whom I belong and to whom I serve, stood beside me. According to the Korean version of the Bible, God had spoke to Paul, standing beside him, through God's messenger last night. According to this testimony, Paul had revealed this to everyone as soon as the sun rose after hearing God's words during the night. But logically, this is quite hard to understand right away. Right now, Paul and his companions had been stuck in the pitch darkness for several days without sun or starlight. Several days went on without being able to distinguish day and night. At the time, there weren't things such as a watch. The hourglass at the time weren't something travelers could carry around. Even if there was an hourglass on the Alexandrian ship, it probably was inside the captain's cabin, meaning Paul also could not have been able to distinguish night from day during the ongoing darkness. In this point of view, last night was not an appropriate translation. The accurate meaning of the original Greek, taute te nykti, means this very night. Paul could not tell if it was night or day at the time, since there was no sign of sun or stars. What was clear was that it was like in the middle of the night, as if time had stopped. This was why Paul testified that God spoke to him standing next to him this very night. The Greek noun nyx, which means night, also refers to the time of darkness, metaphorically. Ever since the northeaster wind started hitting them, pitch black darkness went on for days, in which one could not distinguish anything at all. And so Paul testified that God spoke by his side in this very darkness. This Greek noun nyx also signifies the moment of death. The northeaster wind was not some ordinary typhoon any sailors would encounter on the sea. It was a deadly storm that could devour everything in its way. In such a terrifying storm, the people on the Alexandrian ship lost their every bit of hope for survival, facing the edge of death. This was why Paul testified that God spoke by his side in this very moment of death. Paul's God did not speak on warm, sunny days. God also spoke to Paul during middle of the nights when everyone else were asleep. God spoke to Paul in that pitch darkness in which you cannot distinguish anything. God spoke to Paul even in the moment of death. That night, in that pitch darkness, in that very moment of death, God spoke to Paul as below and said, "Do not be afraid, Paul." It's verse 24. "And said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you." This was a promise from God that he would protect Paul, who will be standing at the imperial court as his witness. This was a promise that not only God will save Paul, but also everyone else on the Alexandrian ship. Paul's reaction to God's words is shown inside verse 25. "So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me." To Paul, the words of God was not just some subject to talk to or admire about. To Paul, God's words were the subject of faith. Paul believed in the words of God entirely. And he was able to get away from the darkness of the northeaster wind with the power of God's words. With that power of God's words, he was able to survive through the pitch darkness where one cannot distinguish anything. With that power of God's words, he was able to overcome the moment of death in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. He was able to go against the deepness of the night, in which no individual or groups can even move at all. At times, you may get stuck inside the tunnel of darkness in which you cannot see a thing. at times, you may face the moment of death in which you don't see any sign of hope for salvation. But please do not forget this. Our God is nothing like those statues made out of metals or stones that have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see, ears but cannot hear, nose but cannot smell, hands but cannot feel, feet but cannot walk, throats but cannot utter a sound. The living God always looks out for us, always comes for us, always speaks to us standing by our side. God did not doze off or fall asleep in that dark night that we faced and speaks to us by our sides. God speaks to us by our sides even in the tunnel of darkness in which nothing can be seen. Even in the moment of death where there is no hope for salvation, God speaks to us by our sides. Anyone who listens to and believes in the words of God can get out of from the darkness with the power of God's words. They can fight through the tunnel of darkness with the power of God's words. They can overcome the moment of death with the power of God's words. This is a promise that our Lord has given us on this day of 12th anniversary of church foundation through today's passage. This year also happens to be the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. The corrupted Roman Catholic Church in the medieval times was like the dark night in which the clock of truth had stopped ticking. Church was stuck inside the tunnel of darkness in which it was impossible to find the way out. Church was facing the edge of death. There should be many reasons as to why the medieval Roman Catholic churches have become spiritless skeletons. But many experts on Western history, including Deacon Park Hung-sik, who also served as the director of the Yangwa-jin Cultural Center of our church, point out that the Black Death that swept the European continents in the 14th century was one of the main causes. Almost one-third of the European populations in the 14th century have lost their lives due to the Black Death. That means one person out of three died because of the plague. It was the priest's job to collect the bodies of the victims of the fearsome epidemic. It was only natural that the mortality rate of the priests, who are more exposed to the disease, was so much higher due to the infection. As a result, priesthood became a hazardous occupation which people were reluctant to apply for. The Roman Catholic Church started replacing the empty seats of the many priests who had died from the plague with unqualified ones in order to maintain their huge system. They approved ordination as a priest without checking the qualifications of the applicants and then trained them theologically. However, it wasn't an easy thing for an unqualified, incapable person to be educated as a priest. At the time, Roman Catholic masses were held in Latin and only used the Vulgata Bible or the Latin version of the Bible. This led to situations in which unqualified priests led masses who didn't know how to read the Latin Bible because they did not know the language. It would have actually been really odd if the Roman Catholic Church did not corrupt, where it's full of priests who cannot even read the Bible, the words of God, where masses unrelated to God's words were being held. In the dark night in which the clock of truth had stopped ticking, in the tunnel of darkness in which one cannot find the way out, Martin Luther presented his famous disputation on the power and efficacy of indulgences, also known as the 95 Theses, on October 31st, 1517. Theses 1 to 3 are as follows. Number 1, when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, "Repent," he willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. Number 2, this word cannot be understood as referring to the sacrament of penance, that is, confession and satisfaction as administered by the clergy. Number 3, yet it does not mean solely inner repentance. Such inner repentance is worthless unless it produces various outward mortification of the flesh. These just sound like common sense to us who live the today, so it sounds quite trivial to us. But 500 years ago, this was pretty revolutionary. Repent, which Martin Luther mentioned, was cited from Jesus' words, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near," in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. The Latin Bible, which the Roman Catholic Church was using at the time, translated repent as "penitentiam agite," or "do penance." Jesus' command, "repent," had turned into "pay for your sins." As time went by, the Roman Catholic Church came up with the doctrine of penance, in which humans can pay for their sins based on this Latin Bible passage. They have made several ways for humans to pay for their own sins and forgive themselves. And the most representative one was the indulgences. As long as you buy the indulgence with money, you will be cleared of all sins, however grave the sin. It was historically an inevitable fate for the Roman Catholic Church to go corrupt. When it held power in the world, as well as obtaining money power through that doctrine of penance. But most of the young qualified priests had no idea what was wrong. That was when Martin Luther started the Reformation with the word repent. The word repent, which Jesus had said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, is written as metanoeo in the original Greek version. This means to turn towards Jesus on the cross, away from the path of sin. There is no way for humans, who are sinners, to pay for their own sins. The only one who can and did pay for our sins was Jesus Christ, the only Son of God who died on the cross for us. So, to surely love our lives to turn towards Jesus is repenting. And faith begins from repenting. In other words, without living our lives to turn towards Jesus, nothing we do can be considered as repenting. This is why Martin Luther announced from the beginning of the 95 Theses as follows. When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, "Repent," he willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. This word cannot be understood as referring to the sacrament of penance, that is, confession and satisfaction, as administered by the clergy. Yet it does not mean solely inner repentance. Such inner repentance is worthless unless it produces various outward mortification of the flesh. What Martin Luther is saying here is that without repenting by turning towards the Lord, our Savior, none, not even the Pope himself, can clear us of our sins. In other words, Martin Luther completely denied the doctrine of penance, which the Roman Catholic Church had abided by as the Golden Rule. From Martin Luther's thesis started the Protestant movement, and as a result, the Roman Catholic Church also eventually started to reform internally. The reason why Martin Luther was able to start the Reformation, going against the medieval Roman Catholic Church that possessed the power of the world and the money, was because even in the midst of the deep dark night, in which the clock of truth had stopped ticking, and the tunnel of pitch darkness, in which it's hard to find one's way out, in that moment when the church faced the edge of death, he listened to the words of the Lord who spoke by his side, believed in them, and followed after them. This did not mean that Martin Luther's life went on smoothly after. The Vatican expelled Martin Luther and then even tried to kill him. Martin Luther also encountered his own dark night, had to face the moment of death in the pitch darkness where nothing was visible. But even among all those moments, he only sought after the words of the Lord who spoke by his side. As a result, he not only saved himself from the dark night, from that tunnel of darkness, in that moment of death, but he was also able to establish the new church on this earth that was owed entirely to the Lord's grace. It wasn't just a coincidence. Other reformers, including Martin Luther, declared just only gospel, only faith, and only grace. For the past 12 years, everything was owed to God's grace. Without God's grace, our church would not have been able to be the church as we know it. As you are all aware of, there are two callings for our church, which was founded by the 100th Anniversary Memorial Foundation. First is to look after and manage the two historical sites. Second is to prepare a pathway for the new future of the Korean church. This is the calling when we, our church, stays like the church should. It seems natural and common sense to follow after and believe in the words of God who owns this church. But look at the Bible. Was there any group of believers, both in the Old Testament and New Testament, who sought after God's words entirely? It's the same for the past 2,000 years of history, Christian history. Most churches sought after the large, easy path towards the world instead of following after the God's words. So churches that try to follow after God's words properly always encountered several types of challenges. We may also encounter such challenges of life as long as we try to keep the words of God and seek after them. We may encounter unexpected northeaster wind. We may be stuck in the pitch dark tunnel and face the edge of death. But please do not forget that even in those moments, God speaks to us by our sides. Starting tomorrow, for 3 days, there will be lectures under the theme, The Rejoice and Passion of the Reformation, to celebrate the 12th anniversary of our church foundation. It is a special lecture to think about what we need to follow after from the reformers 500 years ago, and what to do properly, learning from their mistakes. I urge all of our members to participate and listen to the lecture through the internet live session. Let us make this an opportunity to remind ourselves to follow after God in any challenge. That will be when we will be able to confess like Paul. And that very night when the deadly wind blew, God stood by our side and told us, even in that tunnel of darkness where we cannot see anything, God stood by our side and spoke to us. He spoke to us by our side. In that very moment, we faced our death. He called us to establish this 100th anniversary memorial church for the new generation. He has called us to prepare the new path for the future of the Korean church. So please Let us pray. Father God, to Paul, God was never the statues made out of metals or stones, that have eyes but cannot see, have ears but cannot hear, have mouths but cannot speak, like he had seen numerous times. To Paul, God was the living God who stood beside him, with God's words wherever and whenever, transcending time and space. And so Paul heard the words of God and believed in them, even amidst the middle of the night, during the deadly storm. In that very pitch darkness, and in that very moment of death, as a result, Paul became the path of salvation, not only for himself, but for everyone aboard the Alexandrian ship, from the dead of the night. From the pitch darkness and from that moment of death. In that middle of night when the clock of the Roman Catholic Church stopped, in that pitch darkness, in that moment of death when the church faced the edge of death, Martin Luther also heard, believed, and followed after the words of the Lord, who spoke to him standing by his side. And through Martin Luther, the church was able to revive from the dead of night, from the pitch darkness, and from the very moment of death. Thank you for giving us these words and being with us today upon celebrating the 12th anniversary of the Church Foundation. We intend to continue to believe in and follow only after the words of God, like we did for the past 12 years. Let us listen to the words of God who speaks beside us and obey to them, even if the deadly northeaster wind blows. Even in the middle of the night of the storm, even in the pitch darkness, and in that very moment of death. And so let Paul's testimony become our own and renew the future of the churches on this earth and this nation. Through the 100th anniversary memorial church, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who lived again in 3 days and always speaks to us by our side. Amen.